Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
Hey everyone, this is Alexis Walkenstein, and you are listening to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love, and real-life stories of people living a bold witness of their Catholic faith. Today's guest is really very personal and special to me. He's the most important man in my life to date, and this Father's Day weekend, I am so proud to bring on my dad, David Walkenstein. He has been my hero for my entire life, has had a very unique, profound conversion story that hasn't really been told publicly. A lot of people who meet me or meet him and I tell the story or he shares a story are aware, but it's a fascinating story. And it's not just because he's my father, but because his faith and the way that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with Our Lady have really called him forward into the sacramental life is something that changed the very fabric and dynamic of our family life and something that has had a profound impact on me since his baptism and conversion coming into the church, and sometimes even more profound now as I look back on God's special hand and Our Lady's special hand, Mary's touch on his life. My dad, David, was born in Webster, Massachusetts, to a Jewish father and a Catholic mom, and was raised as a Jew just outside of Boston in Revere, Massachusetts. He, in his young adult life, became an electrical engineer, professional lighting designer, and he lit all of Boston, working for some of the foremost companies, engineering firms, and architectural engineering firms in New England. He traveled the world, all over the world, for his craft, and he even traveled to Ethiopia multiple times in Africa to bring the light of Christ, literally, to engineer hospitals with doctors from Por Cristo. He's been married to my mom for 48 years. He has two children, my older sister and myself. And it was in 1993, when I was a senior in college, when my dad became Catholic. I was 20 years old. And he's here to share his story, his faith story, with all of you. Dad, it's so awesome to have you on the radio show.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
We kid around that, you know, mom is the executive producer because she's been coaching you a little bit. She was a little nervous about you coming on because you haven't really shared your story in this kind of a format. You know, when you think about the life of faith that you've had, you know, it didn't just start, you know, when you became Catholic. You know, you had the deep roots of faith coming from the Jewish tradition early in life. What was that like?
Well, it was good. Growing up in a Jewish ghetto in Revere, went to Orthodox temple and got bar mitzvah there. At that time, there was three temples. One was Orthodox, one was conservative, and the Reform had just started. And we couldn't even get a minyan to do our prayers.
Mm.
So it kind of was disappointing. And I belonged to what they call the Young Israel group. And in church, you have to have 10 to do through prayer service. Then I met your mother, 1969, 1970. And we had a journey. We went to St. Patrick's Church in New York. And
during the courtship.
during the courtship. And your mother at St. Patrick said to me, Dave, I want to bring up the children Catholic. And I said to Leslie, I said, that's not a problem. I said, my mother's always taught me to respect everyone's religion, and it'll work out fine. And it did. I made sure that the kids always went to CCD.
Yeah, you did.
Didn't skip, yeah. And, you know, you'd have to be on your deathbed before you could say, I can't go. And then we had CCD in the house, and the priest would come over, and he'd say to me, Dave, we're going through the Old Testament. Can you get involved? And I said, sure. I said, I'll bring my prayer shawl out and my yarmulke, and we'll go through it with the young kids. And we did that.
It's amazing to me how, you know, Grandma, your mom, she was Catholic, but she had abandoned Catholicism because when she married Grandpa, it was such an impediment to have intermarriage. And she wasn't strong in her Catholic faith enough to maintain it. And yet God was bringing through a lot of Catholic threads while you were being formed as a Jew. There was a lot of Catholicism from your, you know, grandma's dad, your grandfather, and even her family. What was that like?
Well, it was tough because my mother and father didn't go to church, didn't go to temple. It was, in those eras of time, in the Jewish religion, it was really, they disowned the son to marry a Catholic girl. And so they both were in love, and they just didn't go to the church. And I used to say to them, why aren't you going to one or the other? And there's something to learn. But they never did. But in my married life, we did. We went to church and we went to temple. Do you remember that?
I do. And I remember being in high school and Mom and I were having a very deepening of our faith. It was before I was becoming, you know, a confirmed Catholic. I was maybe 13 or 14. We had this profound experience on Holy Thursday. And we began to really intentionally begin to quietly pray that you would also come to know and love this person, Jesus, that we were coming to know his love for us very personally. And I remember as we were praying, it was a little bit around that time that you asked me, I was in high school, you know, what do you think Ma wants for her birthday? It was one particular year. And she had told me she wanted a statue of Our Lady on display in the backyard. And at first you had a little hesitation, but then, you know, like, when you decided you were going to give her this gift, you literally engineered this area in the back of our house in Framingham, and you set this up for her as a surprise. But was that like the beginning of a relationship with you and Our Lady at that time, would you say?
It was. It was. And I've got miniature plants, and I put rocks in there, and it was beautiful. And I put a floodlight on it for her. And, you know, who knows? It could have been for me, too. And I used to talk to it and pray and in my way at that time.
What were you saying?
Well, I just hoped for good things, health and the prosperity and safety for my family. And then when Father Strahan, my priest, asked us to chaperone kids to go to Denver, Colorado to see Pope John. And I said to your mother, do you want to do this? And she says, yes. I said, I'm all excited about it.
He had a particular way of calling you forward, Father Strahan, even before that.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. He did, but he didn't push it on me. You know, we went to church every Sunday with the family. And when we went to Denver, Colorado, it was just an awakening of so many circumstances that happened. Probably too long to tell you about now, but you remember it all, and I'm sure your people, it was just wonderful. We were 10 feet from the Pope, Pope John at that time.
That was,
it was electrifying.
Electrifying
to see those kids just mesmerized by him. And when we got back from Denver, Colorado, I said to Monsignor, I says, you know, I'd like to convert to Catholicism. Can you help me with that?
Something happened to you in that moment in Denver.
It did. And I joined RCIA.
Right.
And went through it all. And then when I had a special, I guess you'd call it a special service for me, because I was away at the time.
Yeah, and that was October 17th, 1993. about 25 years ago?
It'd be 25 years this October.
This October. And multiple things happened. You were baptized, number one.
Correct.
You were baptized. Father Strahan poured all that water all over you and baptized you. Not that common for an adult child to witness her own dad being baptized. That was awesome. You received your first Holy Communion.
Correct.
You were able to receive Jesus for the first time. You were confirmed, and you and Mom had your marriage blessed as a sacrament.
We did. But, you know, I just wanted a quiet ceremony, and not knowing that you and your mother and everybody was inviting the whole world to the church, and I had no idea. Matter of fact, your mother's cousin showed up, who was a priest.
Yeah, Father Steve.
Who at the time, he was in Florida at the time, and he showed up.
Yeah.
And we had about four priests at the altar.
Father Leroy.
I turned around, and the church was full.
Mm.
It was amazing. Relatives on both sides of my family.
It was a witness.
And of yours. It was a witness.
Yeah. It was a testimony.
Unreal. I was not shaking in my boots, but I was a little nervous that I might tell you right now.
Well,
but glad.
Some things happened before that special day. Did some things come against you before you were making this big leap?
Yeah, exactly. We figured we'd have some people back to the house.
You know?
And in the wall, we heard this rush of water, and the pipes broke from the second down to the first. And consequently, I said, what are we going to do? It was like 3 or 4 days before this affair.
Right.
And the church, they all gathered around, plumbers, carpenters, plasterers, painters. They put that together so fast. Your head would spin. And I said, wow. And I said, the show's going to go on.
The show's going to go on. Ain't no stopping this, right?
No, no one's going to stop it.
Yeah.
And it's been a wonderful journey, actually. I think I'm very glad that I went through this whole thing. And, you know, you were instrumental in some ways getting me into CYO.
Yeah.
And taking kids around and
you chaperone the dances. I tell people about when people say, oh my gosh, you know, they're so confused about my last name and Jewish last name and, you know, that God is just letting me have for these last days before, you know, I get a new name eventually. But it's as though it's a conversation piece and I'm able to tell your story from my perspective. And Father Strahan, you know, Monsignor Strahan now, who is just so... I credit, you know, Monsignor Strahan, Our Lady, and John Paul II, but Monsignor Strahan in the priesthood of calling someone forward and just that friendship, he really just extended friendship above all, wouldn't you say?
I'd say he's probably one of the finest priests, finest men I've ever known.
Mm.
And I call him my best friend.
Yeah.
He's just a wonderful, wonderful priest. And you can tell by the way he manages his flock.
Right.
Just wonderful. And
just fun, you know. Hey, Dave, we need you to chaperone a dance. I need a strong man over there at the dances. And it was something you couldn't resist to say, I'll be there.
You could never say no to him. Either it's a washing cars and raising money for
the car washes, yeah.
CYO. But it was wonderful. I mean, he pulls everybody together.
He does. He does. We are talking to my dad, David Walkenstein, on this very special Mary's Touch. He's sharing his conversion story from Judaism to Catholicism. And stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to come back and talk more about his life of faith, what happened after he came into the Catholic Church, and how he has seen God work in his life, in the lives of those he loves. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Faith and Freedom Minute explores the intersection of our Catholic faith and modern American culture, offering insights to understand and navigate the divide between secular viewpoints and our Catholic principles. Brought to you by the Knights of Columbus, here is Texas State Deputy Douglas Oldmixon.
Archbishop Laurie reminds us that as Catholics, we are called to political engagement, and this is primarily the role of laypersons in the church, not the clergy. As clergy, we are primarily those who should provide formation, sustenance, encouragement, and spiritual strength. It is primarily for the laity to engage in the formation of a just and tranquil society. Pope Benedict was very wise in his teaching on this, that the church's job is not to govern. The church's job is primarily to teach. It is to advocate. It is to be a prophetic voice and to form people who will enter the political arena with wisdom and with charity. Those are the two qualities I think we need most right now. As Knights of Columbus, we commit to fulfill this role. Will you join us?
This has been the Knights of Columbus Faith and Freedom Minute. To learn more about the effective witness and practical works of the world's largest Catholic family organization, please visit our website at kofc.org. That's kofc.org.
And we're back. I want to welcome back my dad, David Walkenstein, who's my special guest today. Dad, you just celebrated your 80th birthday. You are amazing. You have become a Catholic 25 years ago. You entered into this new, exciting part of your life, becoming a Catholic. It gave us a whole complete praying Catholic family, which is so important to me. And I think a lot of people out there struggle with how to live a life when there's some fractures in belief in a family unit. And you always had faith, even though you didn't accept Jesus until later in life. You always were a praying man. You were always a moral man. You were always guiding us and instructing us, your daughters, on how to live a life worthy of of God. And we're so grateful to you for that. And when you became Catholic, you know, it's like being a baby Catholic. It's like being in the first grade. You don't know everything right away. And yet you and Mom did something pretty cool right after you entered into the Catholic Church. You started teaching other people that were coming in and accepting the faith through RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation. What was that like?
That was wonderful because I did have an experience with a Jewish gentleman that wanted to convert also. Mm. And we were doing this in teaching RCIA, and it turned out to be fulfilling for me because you take the journey with them, and you look back on your own journey. Mm. And as you were going through the teachings and the readings, mm-hmm. and sometimes they were negative towards converting because they had such questions.
Right.
And then the challenge was to be able to answer their questions and show them the light. And I used to say to the Jewish fellow, I forget the gentleman's name, I says, you know, Jesus was a Jew. He was a rabbi.
Right.
And you're just opening your faith much larger.
Right.
And he related to that. And he did go through it. He became Catholic. And it was just wonderful.
Yeah, I remember the nuns in college said to me, and this is before you entered in, they said, don't ever look down on your Jewish heritage. You have the completion of all of what Jesus was. And it helped me to see things with new eyes. And so that's so interesting that you were also sharing that with others that were coming to know Christ.
I try to tell everybody that, you know, you might say I try to convert some people, but I don't. I do through reason. When they're looking at different things. And you got to be positive. You can't be negative.
Right.
There are so many people that look at the half-empty glass, not the glass half-full.
Mm.
So it's a wonderful journey. And I just recommend to everybody, if you want to become Catholic and you're in between everything, try it. You like it.
Well, and it doesn't take away suffering. I mean, you're a man who's known suffering. You've known some adversity in your physical life. You've beat two cancers. You know, a lot came against you when you accepted Jesus. You had a heart attack and job loss and some losses. And yet, you know, God was strengthening you from within and through the sacramental life. So it doesn't mean that to accept Jesus, everything washes away and becomes squeaky clean and easy. But he gives us the strength and the fortitude to be able to live our lives, you know, for his glory.
He does. And I always believe in God. And I've gone through a lot, like you said, a lot of different things. I always pray to God to help me get through things that I've had, the adversities I've had. And so far, so good.
Yeah. And was it, different and new, you know, living a whole life, an adult life one way, and then coming into new practices like confession, for example, and confessing your sins and the different elements of the sacrament, you know, the weekly commitment and an extracurricular devotion with the Rosary Cenacles that you were a part of and things like that. Were there some things that were hard to accept and embrace in the Catholic tradition, or did it flow naturally?
I think confession was hard because in the Jewish religion, way back from the old days, you used to confess to your father.
Mm.
And the father, in essence, was the rabbi.
Mm.
And in the Catholic Church, you confess to a priest.
Mm.
But I don't find it difficult, and I like facing the priest, not shielded.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see him.
Mm.
And it's when you confess, I feel a great relief.
Right.
And
transformation.
And joy, believe it or not.
Mm.
And it's quite an experience, that a change in my life that I've welcomed.
Yeah. I think it's amazing. And I love how, you know, Our Lady's hands have been so connected with you. And like you said about Christ, you know, he was Jewish. Our Lady was a Jewish mother. And in honoring that sacrament in the, you know, your marriage and your relationship with mom, you know, trying to please her, you know, what does she want for her birthday? Oh, she wants a statue of the Blessed Mother. And you did it. And then Our Lady, you know, very quickly behind the scenes is interceding and brings you directly to her son, Pope John Paul II in Denver, which was just unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
You know,
I mean, we could talk on for hours about all the happenings, but it's just unbelievable. We have an excellent marriage, and we are very faithful, and we love our life, and we love our church.
And you're back at St. Bridget's now with Monsignor Strahan after traveling a lot of other places, which is pretty awesome to have you have that experience with him at this stage of your life.
Back to it, right from the beginning.
Back to the beginning. What would you tell other people who might struggle? I mean, I think for me as a teenager, it was so important to me to have my father also part of the praying side of the family. It's not just up to a mom to be guiding the house. And you've taken on that role in such a way for all of us, for your children, your grandchildren, my niece and nephew. And you really, you take it seriously, this role of, you know, natural fatherhood, but spiritual fatherhood, and into my cousins, your nephews and nieces, and you literally lift them up and you pray for them, for their well-being. What does it mean to you to be like the spiritual head of a household?
I'm going to say this, Alexis. Fathers and mothers with children and themselves, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or Jewish, you should insist on your family going to church together.
Mm.
And the world would be a better place.
Mm.
We wouldn't have what we have today out there. And that's what's lacking, faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith for people. There's lessons to be learned in church, in temple, and there's a good feeling about your inner soul. That's what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And just say to everybody, go do it.
Go do it.
Try it. You'll like it.
Try it. You'll like it. Your life will be enriched.
That's right.
Well, it has been so awesome to have you on this show. Who did you pick for your saint, for your baptismal saint? Because you didn't have any of that, you know, B.C. before Christ.
Joseph.
Saint Joseph. How come?
My uncle was Joseph, and he was a favorite person in my life.
Mm. And Saint Joseph. Yeah, we love Saint Joseph in our house. We love St. Joseph. And Dad, you have been an example to us and to so many other people. And it just goes to show that it's never too late to choose. It's never too late. How old were you, Dad, when you were baptized?
Well, take 25 off of 80. That makes me 55
years old. So anyone who's listening to Mary's Touch today, anyone who's on the fence, anyone who is away from the church and has left the church, anyone who is confused about what the sacraments are, how their power in your life, anyone who is looking for Mary's touch, looking for the touch of God to take their life and transform it, anyone who is also really missing someone in their family and waiting for them to come home to the church. I want to tell you, nothing is impossible for God. I had no idea how it would happen that we would have a complete praying family, but God answered my prayer as a teenage girl. I asked Jesus for this. We had people praying for us. A very special friend of ours named Frank Kelly, who's been on the show, came into our lives, and he prayed with my mom. He's very gifted in the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied and said, your husband is going to become a Catholic. And she said, oh, he's okay the way he is. And Frank said, well, he's going to become a Catholic. And it wasn't long after that, and I don't think any of us could believe our eyes that day when the water was flowing all over you and when you were receiving your first Holy Communion and when you and Mom had your marriage fully blessed within the Catholic Church. It was a profound day, not just in your life, but in the lives of so many of us who were praying for you, Dad.
And you know something? Your mother did not put any pressure on me.
Right.
It was my own free will.
So important. It had to be your own decision. You had to come to know Jesus personally as a Savior for you. You had to come to know Our Lady as your mother. And no matter what anyone else thought, no matter what your dad thought or your mom thought, and they were alive, by the way, when this was happening, and that was difficult, a little difficult.
Well, I think they accepted it. It wasn't a problem, and they embraced it later. You know, when they want to raise you one way and you turn it around, of course there's a little
friction,
irritation.
Yeah.
Yeah, friction.
Yeah.
And, but they were good. They were good about it.
They were. They were. And I know they're rejoicing now. It's just remarkable. It's a remarkable life. We're so grateful for it. And I just hope that your story touches somebody out there that's listening and waiting for someone that they love to know the love of Christ, or someone who's been away and thinking, you know, they might be sitting on the fence. So dive in, as my dad would say. Dive in.
Dive in.
Dive in.
You know, on my mother and father's gravestone is a cross and a Jewish star.
Yes.
Because we don't know what happened years ago, and
right.
There was a lot of bitterness in the family, but they were good people.
They were, and I have a Jewish Star of David with a cross in between, which is something that you gave me to always remember my heritage in the bloodline through you and Mom, and it's very special to me and beautiful. Well, Dad, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you get to tell your story to many more people than just the Mary's Touch listeners. I hope that these days are the greatest days where you can really impact people to share your faith. So thanks for coming on the radio today.
And thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. Maybe you can fill in for me sometimes.
No, you know how to do it better than me.
Oh, thank you so much to our listeners. This is Alexis Walkenstein on Mary's Touch Radio. I want to encourage you to pray for somebody today. Encourage you to pray for someone who needs Jesus in their life, who needs Mary in their life. Pray for them and don't give up and watch what God does. Also, I want to encourage you to pick up my book, Fulton J. Sheen, from the new Ex Libris series from Pauline Media. It's available at pauline.org, and it is a compilation of Fulton Sheen, Bishop Fulton Sheen's spirituality. He's on track for sainthood, and he has some pearls of wisdom for you and for me. Thank you so much for listening. I'm praying for you. God love you. God bless you.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.